Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves at the very, very bottom of Daf Chav Zayin Amud Bet. That's 27b. We just have four words left on the Daf, so we'll start there. Oh, actually, I guess we're at the... Actually, that's not true. We're at the beginning of the last line of the Daf. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. At the bottom line of Daf Chav Zayin Amud Bet, we have the last line of our Mishnah. And our Mishnah is talking about Chol HaMoed and how ordinarily when they took the bodies out to bury them, they would put them on a kind of like a bed, which was called a funeral bier, and they would cover them. And what they would do is they'd bring them out of to the courtyard, like the courtyard of the shul, the street, and they would put them down there. And then that's where they would say the hespedim, the eulogies, and other things would happen there before they carried them out of the city to the graveyard. So the Mishnah says, "V'lo shel nashim." I'm sorry. Before we get to the Mishnah, that's what was done ordinarily on Chol HaMoed. That was not done because it was a festival day. So even if a funeral was done, they didn't do eulogies and they didn't put the bodies down in there. But then the Mishnah goes and says that even on regular days, v'lo shel nashim la'olam, you never put the funeral biers of women down there, mipnei hakavod, for the honor of the women. So the question is what exactly this means. So last four words of the daf. Amri Nahardi, they said in Naharda, which was one of the Babylonian yeshivas, lo shanu, they didn't say that you didn't put the women down the way you did with the men, Elachaya, except for women who died in childbirth. So a chaya is a woman who's giving birth to a child, and if a woman died in childbirth, which unfortunately for them happened much more frequently, and fortunately for us is much less common now. Aval sha'ar nashim manichan, but manichin. Other women, they did put them down. They did put them in the public square and do the eulogies there. And the main reason not to do it for women who gave birth in childbirth is because it could sometimes be unsightly, and there could be blood and other things like that. So they wanted to preserve their dignity. But other women, they would do it. Rabbi Lazar says, Afilu Shar Nashim. He disagrees and says that they didn't put any women down. And the reason for that is based on a biblical proof. Dichtiv, as it's written, related to the death of Miriam. This is in Bamidbar Perek Chaf, chapter 20. Vatamot Sham Miriam. And Miriam died there. This is in the 40th year in the desert. Vatikaver Sham. And she was buried there. So it says she died there and she was buried there. And it uses the word Sham twice. So they put the two of them together and they say there's a connection between them. Samuch Lamita Kvura. She died there and she was buried there. So they, as soon as she died, they buried her. So the idea of pausing to put the body down or put the bier down in the public square and do eulogies creates a delay between the death and the burial. And for women, specifically learned from the death of Miriam, there shouldn't be such a delay, and therefore they didn't do it. They would go straight to the cemetery. Since we're learning about the death of Miriam, we mention another teaching. V'amar Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Lazar said, also in the name of Rabbi Lazar, Af Miriam b'neshika meta. Miriam too died with the death of a kiss, which means the most painless kind of death, and a death that is reserved for tzaddikim, that is a simple death. This is a kind of a truncated teaching. The full text of this is found in Baba Batra on Daf Yud Zayin, where it explains that there were three people, or it explains actually that there were six people that the Malach HaMavet, the angel of death, had no power over. Three of them were Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, the three siblings. And that there were a certain number of people whose bodies didn't decompose after they died. And that also includes Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. And the reason for this is that they died with this special kind of death in which God withdrew their soul from their bodies as a kiss, as if it was a very easy death. We'll actually mention this kind of death a little bit later in the daf. So we learn this also from the word sham. Atia sham sham mimoshe. In the death of Miriam, as we noted, it says sham twice. It says vatamot sham Miriam. Miriam died there. And in the death of Moshe, it also says the word sham, that Moshe died there. So we learn from this Gezeira Shava, from Moshe to Miriam, that since Moshe died with the death of a nishika, of a kiss, so too did Miriam. How do we know that Moshe died with the death of a nishika? We learn that because it says in Moshe, al pi Hashem, that he died by the mouth of God. So the connection to that is the mouth of God and the kiss of God, in which he removes the soul in such a gentle way, is learned from Moshe. And we learn from the Gezeira Shava of the word Shum, which is obviously an important word here, from Moshe to Miriam. Now, the Gemara, though, asks, so, Umipnei ma lo ne'mar ba al pi Hashem. Why doesn't it say al pi Hashem for Miriam? And the answer the Gemara gives is mipnei shegnai hadavar laomro, because it would be vulgar to say that. Now, I have not been able to figure out exactly what this means, but there are a couple of possibilities. The first possibility is simply that they thought it was inappropriate to talk about a woman that way, that it was okay to talk about men but not women, and that sounds like a sort of generally misogynist way of looking at it. A second way of looking at it is that it's primarily sexual, that the idea of kissing, the word nishika and women and talking about it just seems unseemly and might lead people to think lustful thoughts, and so perhaps the Torah didn't want to say it. I would argue another way, which is either that it was unnecessary for it to be said by Miriam since it was said by Moshe, and in fact, it's not even said by Aaron. Aaron's death is told in two occasions. It's told also in chapter 20, right after Miriam's death, is told Aaron's death. And then Aaron's death is repeated in chapter 33 of Bamidbar. And there, in the first time, it doesn't say Api Hashem at all. In the second time, it says, Vaya'al Aaron HaKohen El Hor HaHar. Aaron the Kohen went up to the mountain. Api Hashem, by the mouth of God. Vayamot Sham, and he died there. But it doesn't say that he died Api Hashem. It just says he went up to the mountain Api Hashem. So even Aaron is not as clear as it is by Moshe. Perhaps since it's not clear by Aaron, it shouldn't be said clearly by Miriam either, because then it would be pushing Aaron down below Miriam, and that would be disrespectful. Of course, Miriam also was the oldest of the siblings, and she was the first to die. So if you were going to learn the death, you could learn it from her as well. So it's not 100% clear to me why it's such a gnai to say that Miriam would die al pi Hashem, but it's something that I'd like to get an answer to. All right, we'll keep going. Amar Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami said, Lama nismicha mitat Miriam leparshat para aduma. Why is Miriam's death happened right after the halachot of the red heifer, which is used as a purifying ritual for those who have come into contact with the tuma of death? Now, there is a simple pshat answer to that, which is that before the laws of the Para Aduma, the story that's being told in the Torah is happening in the second year after they left Mitzrayim. And then, of course, they wander in the desert for 38 years, and most of them die in the desert. And so whoever is burying them presumably had to deal with this ritual of the Para Aduma to purify those who had to be involved with the dead. And then when we get to the other side of the Para Aduma, suddenly we find ourselves in the 40th year, and the first story that's told is the death of Miriam in the 40th year. However, there is a thematic connection between them as well, and this is what the Gemara says, the second to last skinny line. Lomar lecha, to tell you, ma Para Aduma mechaperet, just like the Para Aduma creates an atonement for those who have come into contact with the dead, af mitatan shel tzadiki mechaperet, so to the death of the righteous ones, that is Miriam, who is a righteous woman, also comes to atone. Now, the Midrash explains this in a little more depth. What was the Para Aduma coming to atone for? It was coming to atone for the golden calf. So just as the golden calf, which is the image of a cow, was the sin, so the Para Aduma, which is the image of a cow, comes to atone for that sin. And sometimes the Midrash and the Gemara says it like, let the mother, that's the red heifer, come to atone for the sin of the son, the golden calf. So too, Miriam, who is a member of the Jewish people, similar to the Jewish people, when she passes away, she, so to speak, cleans up the mess of the rest of the people in her generation. And we have a similar teaching related to Aaron. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar says, Lama nismecha mitat Aaron lebigdei kohuna? Why is Aaron's death connected to the clothing of the priesthood? What happens is when Aaron goes up to the mountain to die, there's a whole ritual in which they have to remove all of his clothing before he dies. Ma bigdei kohuna mechaprin, just like the clothes of the Kohen come to atone, and there's a whole symbolism how each article of the Kohen's clothing comes to atone for a different sin related to the body of a person. Af mitatan shel tzadikim mechaperet, so too the death of the righteous, in this case Aaron HaKohen, comes to atone for his generation. Just as each article of clothing atones for the sins of the body, so too the death of the righteous person who's a member of Klal Yisrael comes to atone for all of the sins of that generation. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, second wide line. Now we're going to have a discussion about different kinds of death and what's considered a death that's natural and a death that's unnatural. How long should a person live? And then that'll take us through the end of this recording. So the first thing we learn is that if a person dies suddenly, met pitom, without being sick, that is, the death is sudden, zuhi mita chatufa, this is what's called an abrupt death or a snatched death, like he was snatched out of life with no warning. And it's considered unnatural. It sounds like a bad thing, like Hashem is punishing him. Chala yom echad, if he is sick for one day, umate, and then dies, zuhi mita duchufa, this is a sudden death. It's not quite as abrupt as dying without any sickness, but if you only have one day in which to do tshuva, to know that your death is coming, it's quite sudden. Rav Chanan ben Gamliel omer, zuhi mitat magifa. Rav Chanan ben Gamliel says, this is the death of a plague. As it says, this is in Yechezkel, Ben Adam, this Hashem always, when he gives prophecies to Yechezkel, calls him Ben Adam, a human being. Hineni lokeach mimchat machmari necha, I am going to take away from you the delight of your eye, that is his wife. He's prophesying that his wife is about to die, that Yechezkel's wife is about to die, b'magifa, in a plague. And then it says, v'adaber uchti v'adaber el ha'am b'boker v'tamat ishti b'erev. And then he spoke to him in the morning, and then his wife died at night. So he had one day of warning, and it describes this death as a death of a plague. Shnei yamim umeit, if a person is sick for 2 days and then dies, zuhi mitad chuya, this is a quick death, but not quite as sudden or as abrupt as the other ones. Shlosha, he has 3 days of illness. Ge'ara, this is a death of rebuke. Arba'a, 4 days, this is a death of nizifa, of contempt or chastisement. So all of these so far are negative. Chamisha, if you are sick for 5 days, that seems to be the appropriate amount, that you should have 5 days of warning before your death. They're not thinking here about pain and suffering. They're just thinking about the idea that you get some warning before you die. Zuhi mitat kol adam. This is the death of an ordinary person, the death of the everyman. Amar Rav Chanin said, Mikra, what does the Torah say? This is related to the death of Moshe. When Moshe is about to die, he gets a warning. Hashem tells him that he is going to die. So it fits in with the theme of what we're talking about here, is that the sickness, being sick for a number of days, is a warning that you're about to die. Of course, if I was sick, I would be hoping to get better. But perhaps this is a sickness where you have this sense that you know you're about to die. So Hashem comes to Moshe and he says to him, Hein karvuya mecha lamut. Behold that your days to die are drawing close. So that's what he tells him. So the first word, hain, that's one day. Karvu, are coming close, is a plural language, so that's 2 days. Yamecha is a plural, so that's 2 days. So those three words, hain, karvu, yamecha, count as 5 days, lamut. So you get 5 days before you die. Ha chamisha, it's five. And then they add as a footnote, hain is chad. Why do I know that the word hain means one day? Shekein belashon yevani, because in the Greek language, korin la chat hain. The word for one is hain. It's similar to the word in Hebrew for hain, but the word is like ein. It's the Greek word sounds a little bit like the word hain. This is a little bit of a problematic teaching also because Moshe was never sick before he died. he was killed al pi Hashem, and he was killed b'nishika, with a kiss. So he never experienced an illness before he died. However, he did get a warning before he died, so perhaps the two things are parallel. Okay, so that wraps up that section, which is getting being sick as a warning of your death and an opportunity to do tshuva. Now we're going to talk about lifespan. What's the proper ordinary lifespan for a person? So the Gemara says, "Meit b'chamishim shana." If a person dies when they are 50 years old, zuhi mitat karet. This is a death of excisement. Now, karet is a punishment. If you do certain kinds of sins, serious sins, you can receive the punishment of karet, and your life is cut off. There's a dispute among the sages as to whether or not the cutting off is the life of Olam Hazeh, this world, or the life of Olam Haba, the world to come. Here it seems to be assuming that it's this world. In other words, your actual lifespan will be shortened. So it could be that a person ordinarily who dies at 50, and certainly the lifespan of people in the ancient world was much less than today. Today it's in the 70s, but back then it would have been much earlier. People didn't live as long. So it could be that that was their normal lifespan, perhaps, or it could be that they were being punished with karet. The Maharsha says, based on this, that the proper lifespan should be 70 years old. But the first 20 years of a person's life, they are not subject to divine punishment. That's a separate teaching when it talks about all the different growth, like it says, Shmonasar Lechopa, at 18 you should get married. So at Chaf, it's Lir Dof. So one of the teachings related to being 20 is that you are not punished for the sins of your first 20 years. You're only subject to punishment at 20. So if you add 50 and add the 20 years that you're not punished, you get 70. So a proper lifespan is 70, but your first 20 years, you're not punished. However, perhaps a person who gets karet gets those 20 years cut off of their life. So then it goes on, Chamishim u'shtayim shana, 52 years, zuhi mitato shel Shmuel haramati. This is the death of Samuel, the prophet Samuel, who only lived to be 52. It's unclear, is that a good thing or a bad thing? He lived a little longer than 50, so maybe he's not subject to karet, but it also might be embarrassing that he died so young that it seems as if he might have been subject to karet. The next lifespan is shishim, zuhi mita bidei shamayim. According to the version of the Gemara that we have here, if you live to 60 and you die, it's still premature. You should have lived, let's say, to 70, but that's death at the hands of heaven. It's not quite as bad as karet, but it's still death at the hands of heaven. However, there is an alternative girsa. The Rabbeinu Hanano brings a girsa that says, zuhi mitat kol adam. This is the ordinary lifespan. If we look at it this way, then 70 is not a typical lifespan. 60 is the typical lifespan. That's mitat kol adam. And if you live longer than 60, you're blessed with long life. Amar Marzutra, Maikra dichti. Marzutra says, what is the Torah say? It's written in, it's not the Torah, it's Eov, in Eov. So the pasuk in Eov says, Tavo bechelach Ele kaver, you will go to the grave at a mature age. So the word bechelach has the bechelach begematria shitin havu. The gematria of bechelach is another example of gematria. So the bet is 2, the chaf is 20, that's 22, plus the lamed is 30, so that's 52, plus chet is 8, so that's a total of 60. So 60 is then a mature age. Now, what that seems to mean is that 50 is the mean that 50 is a normal lifespan and 60 is a mature age, or that 60 is the proper lifespan for a person. It's not 100% clear. Okay, then we go on. Let's see, I lost the place. Yeah, here we go. We go on. We're at the end of the 2, 4, 6, 8, 10th wide line. Shivim, 70 years, seva. This is a good long age. So already now it makes it sound like 70 years is a deluxe lifestyle. It's beyond. It's a seva, means like a good old age. It's more than normal. Shmonim gvurot. And if you live to be 80, then you're living, that's the gvurot. You have real strength. Dichtiv, as it says in Tehillim, Yimei shenotenu bahem shivim shana, the days of our years shall be 70 years. V'imigvurot, and if it's with extra strength, shmonim shana, will be 80 years. Amar Rabba. Rabba says, Michai Mishim v'ad Shishim Shana, from 50 to 60, Zuhi Mitat Karet. Karet is not just at 50, it's from 50 to 60. And if that's true, that would include Shmuel in that purview as well. V'hai Delo Chashiv Lehu. And the reason why I didn't say that originally was Mishim Kvodo Shel Shmuel Har Matzi, because of Shmuel's honor, that it didn't want to include him in that group of Karet people. Rav Yosef, Kihava Bar Shitin, when Rav Yosef turned 60, Avad Lahu Yoma Tabla Rabbanan, he made a special day, like a Yom Tov, but it means like a party for the rabbis. And so that, first of all, makes it sound like 60 is, you know, when he reached the lifespan of a normal person, you know, he got there, then he celebrated. But perhaps it was because of what he said. Amar, he said, Nafki li mikaret, I've exited now from the period of time when if I had died, it would have seemed like I was subject to the punishment of karet. In any case, it seems like it would be a nice idea for people to throw 60th birthday parties for rabbis because of this example of Rav Yosef. Amar le Abaye, Abaye said to him, Nihi de nafak le mar mi karet deshane. It is true, or let it be, that the master has gone out, the nafak means to go out, of the kares of years. That is, you're now old enough that you're not in the kares years. But mi kares di yome mi nafak. What about the kares of days? Have you gone out of? Mi nafak mar, has mar gone out of? The kares of days is what we talked about before, that you should get sick for a couple of days before you die, that it should be 5 days. Well, what if he would get sick for 1 day or 2 days? Then that's still an example of kares, despite your lifespan. So he said back to him, very optimistically, Nakot lecha miapalga biatcha. He said, oh, well, at least I have half of it. I'm out of one aspect of kares, even if I'm not out of the other one. Rav Huna nach nafshe piton. Now, Rav Huna, based on the same topic, died suddenly. Now, we said before that a person who dies suddenly, this is a mitachatufa, a snatched or abrupt death, and that's not a good thing. That sounds like karet. Havukat daigi rabbanan, and the rabbis were very upset about this because it felt like Rav Huna was given the punishment of karet, and they didn't understand. Tana lehu zuga de mehadayev. So there was a certain pair of scholars from Mehadayev, and they came and explained it to the other rabbis. Lo shanu, they said, we don't teach this rule that a person who dies suddenly is a mitachatufa, is a snatched death. Elash lo higia ligvura, except for people that didn't live to 80. Aval higia ligvura, but if he reached the age of strength, that is 80 years old, zuhi mitat nishikan, then it is a blessing. It's actually the most peaceful way to die, is to die quickly when you're very old. So a younger person who dies suddenly, it could be karis, but once you reach 80, it's a blessing to be able to die without getting sick. That's what they said to him. Amar Rava, so Rava said, this is a very interesting teaching, Chayai Banai, or Chayai Banai Umzone, one's lifespan, one's children, and one's food, that is, the food that you need to sustain yourself. Lo bischuta talia milta, these things are not dependent upon one's merit. Ela bimazala talia milta, they are dependent on one's mazal. And we'll talk about it in a second, but the Gemara gives an example. Taha Rabba Rav Chista. Let's contrast these two great sages, Rabba and Rav Chista. Tarvayu Rabbanan Tzadike Havu. They are both righteous rabbis. Mar Matzli Va'ati Mitra. One of them davened and brought rain to Klal Yisrael. Umar Matzli Va'ati Mitra. And the other one davened and brought rain to Klal Yisrael. And this is a sign of great righteousness. However, that's where the similarities end. Rav Chista chaya tishin v'tartin shin. Rav Chista lived to the ripe old age of 92. Rabba chaya arbayin, and Rabba died when he was 40. Bei Rav Chista shitin hilule. The house of Rav Chista celebrated 60 weddings. Bei Rabba shitin tichle. The house of Rabba suffered 60 funerals. Bei Rav Chista smida lekalbe velon mitbai. In the house of Rav Chista, they could afford to feed very fine flour even to the dogs, and no one cared about it. Bei Rabba nahema disare leinshi velo mishtakach. In the house of Rabba, they were so poor that even inexpensive bread for men, for the people, was hard to come by. So they had totally different experiences. In other words, all these three things. Rav Chisda's lifespan was longer. He had more children. They didn't die. They got married. And he had plenty of food. And yet they were both righteous. I think the question here depends on what we mean by mazel. In the art school, they have a long thing where they're very upset about this, the idea that that mazel should determine one's life. So it depends what we mean by mazel. One way of looking at mazel is that we are talking about the heavenly influence of the stars. That's kind of like astrology. And we generally say, you know, ein mazel b'Yisrael. So you could say maybe ein mazel b'Yisrael only applies to all of the Jewish people and not to any individual. But generally speaking, we don't really feel like astrology is the thing that defines who we are. Another way of looking at mazel is, as we'll see a little bit later, that a mazel could have something to do with a heavenly counterpart, a spiritual counterpart to your body that is like your soul companion. And maybe that has something to do with it, but I don't know. Those things are beyond my pay grade. A third way of looking at it is that it has to do with fate, that your fate was set to be this way. Now, even though we think that we can alter our fate in many ways by doing actions and making decisions, what I think you could be saying here is that some people were born to live a long time. Some people's hearts just last longer and their bodies last longer, and they are fortunate in to be able to procreate and their children don't have diseases. Like, that was Hashem's decision that you should be born in such a way. So you might live longer. Now, if you're punished with karet or you do a certain sin, it might be cut short. But the basic idea here is that your lifespan is dependent somewhat on your birth, on what you were fated to receive when you gave birth. The Marsha calls this gzerat haleda, Hashem's decision about what capabilities you'll be born with. Now, you still can make certain choices, like maybe you were given a tremendously strong constitution and you could have lived to be 120, but you smoked a lot and drank a lot and didn't sleep and led an unhealthy lifestyle and you'll live to be 100. Whereas someone else who ate healthily and lived a very healthy lifestyle, but their constitution was weaker, only lived to be 80. But had they lived the way you live, they only would have lived to be 50. So that could be what it means here. By mazel could just mean the gifts that Hashem gave us when we're born. In that case, it makes a lot of sense to me that's a true teaching. Okay, last teaching we do before we finish this recording. The Amar Rava, Rava said, Hane tlat mile bai kamishmaya. Rava said, I davened for three gifts or three things that I asked from heaven. Tarti yahavili, two of them were given to me. Chadalo yahavili, and one was not given to me. Chuchmate de Rav Huna, Rava said, I asked to be as wise as Rav Huna. And then I asked for Utre de Rav Chisda, the wealth of Rav Chisda. As we just saw a second ago, Rav Chisda's household was very wealthy. They could afford to feed even fine flour to the dogs. V'yahavuli, and it was given to me. So Rava got two gifts. He got tremendous wisdom and tremendous wealth. And then the third thing he asked for was An Vanuse de Rabba bar Rav Huna. I asked for the humility of Rabba bar Rav Huna, lo yahavuli, and this was not given to me. Now, I don't know if this is a serious statement or somewhat tongue-in-cheek, because humility is a character trait that one chooses. There may be some natural element to it. Maybe some people are more naturally humble than others, but you choose to be humble or not. So it could be that what Rava was saying, I think, is that after he was given tremendous wisdom and wealth, it was much harder for him to be humble, and he was not quite up to the task. Now, of course, he may be overstating the case. Certainly, Rava was very humble. Maybe he felt he wasn't as humble as he should have been, and that he didn't have as much siyata d'shmaya, help from heaven, in increasing his humility because of the other many, many gifts that Hashem showered upon him. All right, we'll stop there and continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.